Thank you. Good to be back with you this evening, and encouraged to see you back again as well. And I appreciate Brother Allen helping me feel old. He used to babysit me when I was a little boy. Brother Matt, he must be really old. No. We have known the O'Brien family for a while, and good to see him again. I know what really made me feel old today was in the school. The fifth grade had a presentation to give me one of the banks, and the young man that came forward said, "Yeah, you were my dad's floor leader in college." Brother Ben Sr. back here, and I was like, "Oh my goodness, now I really feel old." So, but yeah, you have been gracious listeners. I appreciate you paying attention, listening. I know that your pastoral staff has done a good job of teaching the Bible, interpreting the Bible correctly, training theologically here in this church. And I understand that, and I appreciate this ministry. And you've been very gracious to be here and listen. I just want to be a help. I'm used to ministering in Spanish. I'm used to ministering. Over 90% of my sermons are all in Spanish. And I'm used to ministering to people as first-generation Christians as well. They're just new. They're babies. They're growing. And so I appreciate the intellectual depth here at this church. And I feel like a baby here sometimes when I get around your pastor especially. But no, it's all, I really do enjoy this church. I don't know, however, other way to express it other than I just enjoy being around you, interacting. I don't know of another church that has been as intentional of getting to know the missionaries and just making contact. We've had the fellowship, the missionary fellowship group, the homebrew, the butcher homebrew, and the beard homebrew. That group that stays in contact with us and how they encourage us with their letters, and the Sunday school class with Brother Maynard writing us questions. What about this? What about that? And we answer back. And just the intentionality, I know that trickles down from the top of getting to know the missionaries. So I do appreciate that. I don't know how to express that adequately. I love this church. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 this evening is where we will be. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In this passage that we will be looking at, David, king of Israel, is getting his people ready to build a temple. The temple that we know as Solomon's Temple. And if you were to read back, and you probably know the story, the sequence, how this was in David's heart. David wanted to build this house. David wanted to build this temple. He says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. David wanted to build the temple, and it says in that verse, "It must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries." We understand that David understood that God wanted his name to be exalted among all nations, and Israel was God's chosen people, and that this temple would be the place where the Ark of the Covenant would be, and Israel was to be used to exalt the name of God and draw the nations to Jerusalem and to this temple. And so David wanted to build this temple. David wanted that honor, that privilege. And God told him no. God said, "No, that's not for you." And it's interesting. I looked and I read and I could not find any place where God said, "Instead, I want you to gather the materials up to build the temple." I never could find where God told him to do that. But that's what David wanted to do. It's as if he said, "Well, if I can't do what I really want to do, I'm still going to be involved in this project. And I'm going to get the materials." And he did a bang-up job getting all the materials around, you know. God gave them victory in war, and the plunder came, and David set that aside for the building of the temple. And God gave them peace around them so that they wouldn't have to worry about other things. They could build that temple. And it was for that purpose. Israel was chosen by God to bring glory to His name. Ed Stetzer said this in the book, Finish the Mission. In the Old Testament, Israel was called to live in such a way that the nations would come to Jerusalem. In the New Testament, we find Jesus sending His disciples to the nations for God's glory. And so David's desire to get a temple built to exalt the name of God, and our desire to get missionaries out and us into the community as salt and light to bring glory to God, we have the same mission, the same desire. David was trying to do it through building a magnificent temple and drawing the nations to God. We are doing it as Jesus' disciples going out to the nations, but the same job. And so as we look through this passage, this passage talks about preparing and participating in doing a great work for God. That great work of God, to God, of building a temple for the glory of His name. This is not a missions passage, but what I want to do is make comparisons of, because we are involved in that great task of bringing glory to God's name, as David was trying to do with the temple, I want to make comparisons and try to follow an example here of what does that look like as we are participating in a great work for God. That's what we're in. We're in a great work for God. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That is a great task. And we are to exalt the name of Jesus Christ throughout the nations. And one day, as we look ahead, we see around the throne of God, people from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation. And so it is a great work for God. And we need to be participants, all of us. Not all of us will get to go to the mission field, but we can all participate in the work. You know, David's first choice was to build the temple. It could be that there's someone here that says, I want to go abroad. I want to be a missionary. I want to travel cross-culturally, but God hasn't opened that door. That doesn't mean you just sit back and say, well, I don't know what else to do then. There's a way to get involved. There's a way to participate. And David looked for another way to get involved. And so God's passion is the same, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. God seeks worshipers. And whether it's bringing glory to His name through a magnificent temple for the fame and glory of God's name throughout all countries, as it says in 1 Chronicles 22:5, or using believers who are a spiritual house, as it says in 1 Peter 2:4-5, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We see that there is a great work to do. 1 Chronicles 22:19, David here says to the people, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. So David's statement fits what we see as God's purpose for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, to be a blessing to all nations through faith in the coming Messiah. And David wants to enhance God's glory among the nations among Israel and the surrounding nations by building a magnificent temple. So tonight I want to go through some principles for participating in a work for God. The first thing I want to point out is David's method for participating. David's method, we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David's method for participating in a work for God. Verse number 2 says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glittering stones and of diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones and marble stones, in abundance. So here we see David and his method for participating in this work for God. The first thing I want to point out in this method that he had was David supported the global team effort. What do I mean by that? David is gathering materials with all of his energy for this work for God. David said, the Bible says here in verse number 2, "Now I have prepared with all my might." The word "prepared" here in the Hebrew has the idea of providing what is desired or needed for support. Vine's dictionary describes this word as laying the foundation. This root connotes being firmly established, being firmly anchored and being firm. It is applied to a roof which is firmly established on pillars. And so, in other words, David is helping with the underpinnings of this great task. He's laying the foundation. He's involved in the global team efforts of laying the foundation. It was bigger than one individual. It wasn't one donor that's going to do this thing. Recently, with the partnership we have with Medical Missions Outreach, we had this desire to build a surgical center. And it's not just something that came out of nothing. We have seen the need. We have been in the public hospital, one public hospital to serve our city of 250,000 people and the surrounding department, county, state, which would include up to about 500,000 people being served in this system of social medicine by one public hospital. There is a waiting list of over 500 patients to receive routine surgeries. And so as we've gone in and helped out, we see this need. We have contacts. And so we just tossed out the idea, what if we organize this ourselves? Because anytime we worked with a public hospital, it was just chaotic and very inefficient and lacking supplies. And so we thought, why don't we have the resources? Why don't we build a place dedicated to this? We'll bring in medical professionals once a month, do surgeries for a week for free. They'll stay above in the surgical center, and we'll just crank out a bunch of surgeries. And so we prayed about it, and we've talked about it, and now it's on blueprints. Last year in the fall, we met with a couple, and they were interested in being a part of building this surgical center. And we originally had said, guessing before we had blueprints, about $100,000 would probably do it. And that goes a long way in Honduras, $100,000. But then as we got to looking at it and, okay, we want two fully functioning operating rooms to be able to get a patient ready and start on another one and then get back to the other one and have it more efficient and then having a housing area upstairs, we thought this is going to take more money. So we met with this couple and we said, I'm sorry, they had actually written us a check for $100,000. And so we met with them. And we said, I'm sorry. We thought we could build it for $100,000. It's actually going to be more like $300,000. So because we gave you the impression that we could build it with this money you gave us, we're willing to give you this money back, or you could just put it toward, please. You could just put it toward the building. And this couple, they've made their money in the steel industry, and a very humble couple, older couple. You would never know that they're not living as if they had money to be able to write out $100,000 checks. They gave us the other $200,000 to build the building. And so we're fully funded. And so praise the Lord. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that this temple was not a one-man job. It's not going to be one donor. But David had the vision, the willingness and the desire, okay, I'm going to get involved in the big picture. I'm going to get involved in the team effort, the global team effort, the underpinnings, the foundation. You know, we all, as we relate this to missions, as we look at this and try to take out principles to apply to the situation we're in as a great task before us of global evangelism, we can all be involved in the underpinnings. We can all be involved in that team effort. It starts in your personal life. It starts as you get close to the Lord and establish that base, and you get God's heart. If you are close to God's heart, you're going to want to do what God wants to do. And so here we see David involved in the underpinnings, and we can be involved in the underpinnings. Getting a hold of God's heart by listening to His Word, dying to self and living for God's agenda. In your home, you can be establishing the underpinnings. Maybe you won't go abroad. Maybe you will never step foot on a mission field other than focusing on the souls right around where you are and who you work with. But you can be involved in the underpinnings in your home. This great effort, you could be preparing your children. You could get them ready for future possibilities. And there are many ways to serve the Lord on the mission field in non-traditional ways. I mentioned the medical. If you're medically equipped, you can serve the Lord on the mission field. If you can teaching English, there are opportunities on the mission field, even in restricted access nations, to get in and teach. We can be involved in the underpinnings. Put your child towards something that would open doors for ministry. In the church life, your pastor, your pastoral team, they have a philosophy for ministry here. They have a vision for ministry. And I know as a pastor, sometimes we'll get people that are just gung-ho and, hey, I want to go start a ministry over here. I want to do this, or I'm going to send my money to this ministry. And I get this idea in my head. I say, why don't we just all work on one focus? You know, we have, as a church, why don't you come alongside of the vision that God has given the pastoral team, and let's get together in this instead of you deciding to go start your independent ministry over here and do your own thing. Why can't we just get together and get under that same ministry philosophy as a group, and this synergy that we have as a team, instead of everybody kind of going off on their own thing? We can all be involved in the underpinnings, laying the foundation of this great task of world evangelism. But I also see in this method that David had for participating in the work of God, it wasn't just getting the materials and you know, receiving donations. David also sacrificed for the global team effort. He got involved personally. It touched his wallet. 1 Chronicles 29:3-5, the Bible says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." So that he helped with the underpinnings, the global effort, but he also went into his own treasury. And he got his own money, if you would, to set aside for the house of the Lord. Verse 4 and 5 explains how much. 3,000 talents of gold. Later it says 7,000 talents of refined silver. That doesn't mean anything to me or you. Because what does that look like? A talent of gold would be about 75 pounds of gold or 75 pounds of silver. So if we're talking about what David gave here, he says in verse number 4, 3,000 talents of gold, that would be 225,000 pounds of gold. At today's prices, gold is $19,659 and change per pound. So 225,000 pounds of gold times almost $20,000 per pound. And we're talking about over $4 billion dollars in today's money. It doesn't matter who you are. That's a lot. And that's what he's giving from his personal treasury. And then the silver, that would be the equivalent of $140,000, a total of over $4.5 billion in gold and silver that he gave. And so he gave sacrificially, personally, to this task. He was, could we say, all in he wanted to be involved. In the book, again, Finish the Mission, John Piper talks about God's purpose in the material wealth of Christians, perhaps especially in the West, where we are. He says, God gives His people material wealth for the sake of the world's spiritual worship. That is, He blesses His church with riches for the sake of reaching the nations. He gives a bountiful wheat harvest for the sake of a bountiful world harvest. That's good. And so, as we look at where we are and what we have, we need to have in mind there is a great task. And it's going to take effort. And it could be that the easiest thing for us in our society is giving the money. But there are other ways to get involved. You can get involved personally in this, sacrificially in this, by giving time. Time to communicate. Time to go and visit and fellowship on the field. Giving of your talents. Giving of your children. Pointing them in that direction. There are so many ways to get involved. We see David's method here of participating. He helped with the global effort, the underpinnings, but he also he gave sacrificially himself. In Honduras, we're teaching the people to give. We want them to understand we are not the end of the line on the missionary chain. Our church is as responsible as your church of sending and reaching the nations. And so we don't want to be the end of the line and receive the money and that's where it ends. And so we're teaching them, okay, we need to give. And they do faith promise, just like you do. Last year, they gave the equivalent of $8,000, around that $8,000 to missions. Doesn't sound like a lot, but down there it's a lot, especially when the minimum wage is about $350 a month for an average worker. And so our church, above tithes and offerings, giving to missions, that for them is a sacrifice. That might not be as much of a sacrifice for you. Maybe God has bountifully blessed you, and that's not the big deal. You can easily put down that kind of money. But there are ways to get involved in sacrificially through time and talents as well. As we look at this, David's method for participating, I want to move now to David's motivation for participating. Why is he doing this? He says in verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." That's where his heart was. That's where his love was. He wanted to see a magnificent temple for the name of his God among the nations, to draw in people and for them to see his glory, for them to see what God was doing, his mighty hand. David's motivation was, "I have set my affection to the house of my God." His delight, that's the idea. This was his delight, to take a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction in. The psalmist said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And what we delight in, we will have no problem contributing toward. If you delight in world missions, if that makes your heart tick, then you will have no problem getting involved. David set his affection. That's what he loved. You know, we have no problem putting down money for ball game tickets when that's what we love. We have no problem putting down money for a four-wheeler if that's what we love. We have no problem putting down money for a trip, a vacation, if that's what we love, if that's what we're focusing on. And those things in themselves are not wrong. But wouldn't it be great if our love was what God loved? And God loves the nations. God loves the souls. We saw that on Wednesday night, how His heart is for the nations. He wants to bring in even the most vile and the barbaric so that He can receive all the glory. And so, where is your heart tonight? We shouldn't have to, as pastors, even beg for money. We don't want it to be like that. We want it to be a willing giving, but in this effort for faith promise, it's just a reality. Missionaries cannot draw a salary in the country where they're serving. It has to come from outside. We have to prove that when we go in to establish a residency. David Platt said, "We must refuse to be numbed. We must refuse to be numbed by the temporary pleasures of this world in a way that prevents us from feeling the eternal weight of heaven and hell. We need to set our affection on what God loves. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. Praise the Lord, He gave." We move from David's method to David's motivation to now David's model. He was an example. In verse number 5 at the end, David said, "Who then, after he gave himself, after he prepared, helped with the global effort, after he gave sacrificially from what he had in his hands," he says, verse 5 at the end, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Who then is willing? And so he was giving a model for participating. He is letting it trickle down from the top. He is showing them an example. David gave the example, and he desires to stimulate others to do the same. Who then is willing to consecrate? This word consecrate has the idea to fill the hand. Who is willing to fill his hand for the service of the Lord? And David is wanting to stimulate, provoke these followers, these chiefs and fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and captains, the heads of household. He's wanting to provoke them and say, "I'm giving sacrificially. I'm getting involved as the leader, and I'm trying to be a model for you." I am a missionary receiving faith promise support from churches like this one, but I also participate in faith promise. It's something that I want to do. It's something that I desire to do. And I'm glad to do, because as a missionary, I understand the need, and my heart is in that as well. And I see how David, he is so desirous of getting these guys involved and participating and letting them get involved as well. He's saying, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Verse 6 says, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly." And it says in verse number 7 and verse 8, "They gave 5,000 talents of gold plus 10,000 derricks of gold." That would be the equivalent of over $7 billion, 7.3. 10,000 talents of silver, $208 million in today's money. And so we see that they gave. They followed the example. They gave. They participated. David was encouraging them to get involved as well. Throughout this passage, you will see offered willingly, offered willingly, offered willingly. And that's the idea. Not a obligatory or forced giving or shamed into giving. This is the work of God. This is what we need to fuel the machine to get it done. Now, who wants to get involved? Let me close with the fourth point here. David's memory of participating as he got involved, and as he shared his motivation of why he was getting involved, and as he encouraged others and provoked them to get involved. This is his feeling. Verse number 9. "Then, after David gave, after the people gave, then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." So here they are, excited about what they're doing, willingly getting involved. I know, and I've seen this week, your generosity. This is not a foreign concept to you. As you've come up and given the banks and said, "This is something we've got together for you. I see the generosity. I see it, and I see the joy in your faces. And that's the idea, getting involved, and there's joy. There's joy in getting involved in a great work for the Lord. You know, the pleasures of this world are just for a season. And there would be, there's great false joy in a lot of things in this world. But when we get involved in the work of the Lord, as we see here, they gave great amounts of money. I mean, this is a sacrifice, but we don't see them boo-hooing all the way up to the offering plate. We see them greatly rejoicing. Something that will help us getting involved in giving for the work of the Lord is seeing others do it. Like verse 6 talks about, when they saw what David did, they got involved. That helps. It wouldn't be improper for you to maybe talk to some people that have been here for a while in this church and say, hey, help me out in this. Help me get my budget lined up where I can get this into my budget where I want to contribute. Or how do you do it? Or just get alongside someone and say, let's pray about this. I'm praying about what God would have me to get involved with. Seeing others get involved is a help in getting giving willingly to the work of the Lord. Understanding that there's great joy and it's not a thing of sadness helps us to get involved and give willingly. Also understanding, as it points out here in verses 11 and 12 and 14, that everything comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. And to give it back to the work He wants to do, that helps us to give willingly. And then, as we see in verse number 16, O Lord our God, David said as he prays, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. And then he says, it is for the praise, or in verse 16, to build the house for thine holy name, for thine holy name. That's the purpose. As we understand why we're doing it, it's for the praise of God, to exalt his name. It helps us to give willingly to the work of God. Now we see how David had a desire to exalt Christ's name in the task that they were doing. This is the same goal, the task of missions, to exalt the name of Christ. Different, you could say, dispensation here, but gathering principles from this, getting involved by helping with the global effort, your local church effort, the philosophy that's going on here in your personal life, in your home. What can you do to get the underpinnings, the foundation, so that this will be a generational thing? And then getting involved personally. And then we see David's motivation. Where's your heart? Where have you set your affection? And then getting people involved, modeling as the young, as the old model for the young, as the more mature model for the less mature, getting everyone involved. And then the idea of having joy. Oh, it's so great to give to the Lord, and there's pleasure in it. And when we understand it is for the name of the Lord that we do it. I can't think of anything better to invest in. I can't. And as we receive the banks from people and children's classes, I said, we will invest this in Honduras in the name of the Lord. I wanted to encourage you with that tonight, as we have to talk about what it involves to do this great task. And as we relate some things from the Old Testament to this great task, participating in the work of God, I pray that as we approach Sunday, that you will think and talk with God and pray and say, God, what would you have me to do? What can I do to get involved in the underpinnings? What can I do to get involved personally? What can I do for the joy and glory of your name? Father, thank you so much for the time we've had together. Take your word and place it upon our hearts. May your Holy Spirit use it to transform our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Take just a few moments.